that's something else we're blessed with week by week, isn't it? Our choir just blessing our hearts. So, amen. Amen. They do a great job. Well, I'm very pleased to have my son-in-law and my oldest daughter and my youngest daughter and my only granddaughter, the princess, and my grandson with us. And I'm going to, why don't y'all stand up so I can embarrass you, okay? I don't get to do that very often. Amen. They are serving a church in Springdale, Arkansas. And I asked Mike to come and preach for us today. They have recently moved to Arkansas from California. They've been there about 2 years. And so we're glad to have them a little bit closer to home and be able to have them at Christmas. I think it's been 17, 18 years since we kind of had them somewhere close to Christmas. So we are just very thrilled to do that. So I'm going to ask you to give Mike a very warm welcome to our church here today as he comes and preaches God's word.
I said first hour, thank you, Pastor Charles, or Dad. We're thrilled to be with you. It is neat to be able to just make a short drive rather than coming from California, which is a very long drive. And so it's just an honor to be with you this morning. If you want to follow along, we're going to be camped out in Colossians chapter 1. So we'll be towards the back of the Bible. We'll be in chapter 1 starting in verse 15, and I'm really grateful to have the opportunity to highlight one of my favorite people, and that's Jesus Christ. And I get to do it in one of my favorite seasons of life, the Christmas season. So it's a really one-two punch where I get to be with you, and I just get to share with you someone that is so important to me, and I think to many of you as well. Let me ask you this, as you're getting to Colossians, how many this morning would say that you love the Christmas season? That's it. You're just outside is your hat. You're ready to put it on. Go sing some carols. Do we have any Scrooges here this morning? Okay. Yeah, first hour we had a couple too. So there's several of you running around. Maybe some others. People are elbowing you and say, no, that is you. You should have raised your hand. Well, when we think of the Christmas season, different memories come to mind, different highlights. For me, I immediately go to the tasty food. And I experienced something yesterday I hadn't yet, and it's called buttermilk pie. My mother-in-law made buttermilk pie. Maybe that's something you go, oh yeah, we don't have buttermilk pie in California. So I had that. I'm going to revisit it today just to make sure it was as good as I thought it was. But tasty food. I'm sure in your mind you can think about some family traditions, some foods. Maybe you're already smelling that. We sing Merry Melodies. I love to sing classic Christmas carols during the year. Maybe for you, you like to drive and go see lights. We do that every year as a family. We just like to take a little tour and see all the beautiful lights. Maybe it's the decorations. Maybe for you, just say, let's get to it. I like to exchange gifts. Mike, if there's a highlight for me, it's the gift exchange. And so there's a lot to love about Christmas. But I think we also have to acknowledge that there's some real challenges that come to us in this time of year as well. And so I was thinking of some of the challenges that we face, and one would be rude shoppers. Now, we've spent 2 years in the home of Walmart. We're right in the land of Walmart. Let me tell you, they're out. These shoppers are out. We're trying to avoid Walmart right now. You probably have them up here, and so you have to endure some of that. Maybe for some of you, it's the frantic schedule. You're going, man, I just need to get through. I'm surviving Christmas, and I need to get through it because my schedule has picked up. Maybe for you, it's challenging family dynamics. A lot of us don't want to talk about it, but you know what I'm saying? Where you come to the holidays, and it's like, this is going to stretch us a little bit, and we're going to need an extra level of grace. Maybe some of us have gathered this morning, and this holiday season, you're entering into a tough time because this is the first season that you've gone through it without a loved one nearby. Maybe you're experiencing the loss of a loved one. And so I know that Christmas can be pretty polarizing. We like to think of it as just happy, but there's some real highs and lows to it. And so I wanted to share something that has been a powerful truth for me that I've come to appreciate about a season that has both the joy and wonder, but also the heartache. And it's this: I believe that the brokenness of the season highlights our need for Jesus. And so if we can process that brokenness and allow it to point us to Jesus, that's a win. And on the flip side, the joy and wonder highlights the solution to our brokenness. And by the way, it's the same person. It's Jesus. So through the highs and lows, the key is, who are we going to center on? And I believe the key is to center ourselves on Jesus. And this isn't true just for the Christmas season. It's true for every single day of our lives. And so as I was praying through and thinking through what I could share with you this morning, if there's one main idea I hope that just kind of resonates with your heart, it's this: life at its fullest is experienced through centering ourselves on Jesus Christ. That's the main idea. That's the gift. I've given it to you early. You may hear that and go, okay, Mike, that sounds like the spiritual thing to say. In fact, as a pastor, I would expect you to say that. I'd be shocked if you didn't. But is there any proof? Can you prove to me that if I center myself on Jesus, that I will experience that rich, satisfying, full life? And I would say, thanks for asking, because I want to show you a few reasons that God gives us in his word that will help us. And so, again, Colossians chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 15, and I want to read this. And as we're reading through this, I want you to just focus in on the focus of this passage of scriptures. How many times these scriptures point us to Jesus. So in verse 15, it says, he, and the he here is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. So one reason centering on Christ is essential to living life to the fullest is this: Jesus Christ is supreme over his creation. He's supreme over his creation. Have you ever contemplated how we as mankind got here? That's one of those brain freeze moments when you're spending some time and you're just thinking, that almost hurts to sit there and think, how did we get here? And then maybe from there you continue to think, and then you ask a question, well, okay, what is my purpose in being here? It's one thing to get here, but what am I supposed to do while I'm here? And then that may lead you to think, well, who is running this thing? Who is in control of this thing we call life? And if there is someone ruling, what is this being like? These are profound questions most of us wrestle with throughout our lives. And I want you to know that the beauty of this passage of scripture we just read is that it answers all of these questions for us. And it answers it all the same way. Jesus. Jesus is the answer to all these questions. Let me show you what I mean. If we were to ask who created the cosmos, the planet, the wildlife, mankind, who created all this, verse 16 said, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth. If we were to ask who is central to all of this and who is in charge of all of this, verse 17 says, and he is before all things. Verse 18 says that in everything he might be preeminent. Well, what is this preeminent creator like? What is this ruling person like? Verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God. Verse 19, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. If you ever wondered, what is God like? Look to the life of Jesus. He's the perfect representation of God because he is God. And what is our purpose in being here? Verse 16 tells us that all things were created through him and for him. So Jesus is, Jesus is central to the process of creation, and he is central to our purpose as his creation. We must center ourselves on Christ in order to experience life at the fullest, because that's how we were designed to live. We've got to go back to our original design and say, okay, if I didn't create all this and someone else did, I need to ask the designer, I need to see, what is this all about? And he is central to it. Now, I know when I say that, some of us in here may be a little reluctant to own that truth. You think about it, and we as mankind, you might say, well, we're strong, I'm independent, I'm capable, and might, quite honestly, I like to steer my own ship. I like to be in control. And if you feel that way and you think that way, just know you're not alone. In fact, as mankind, that's one of the greatest wrestling matches we face in our lifetime. It's who is going to be at the center of our universe. It's really not a matter of if we're going to place someone or something there. It is who or what. We will make that decision. Lots of times we like to place ourselves at the center. But I want to encourage you this way. Jesus is the only one who is worthy and capable of being at the center of the universe in our lives. Now again, sounds like the right spiritual thing to say, but why? Like, doesn't that sound like an egomaniac? Doesn't that sound like a creator that made a creation and just said, I'm really going to enjoy domineering them. I can't wait to put them under my thumb. I'm going to tell them what to do. I mean, our first thought is that doesn't sound all that pleasant until you get to know Jesus. Because when you get to know Jesus, you go, that's not it at all. He's actually inviting us into alignment with our original design. And as you get to know Jesus, you begin to understand, wow, there is no one like him. He is awesome. And so when we look to our lives and we go, I would like to experience things like goodness. I'd like to experience mercy, forgiveness, love. I'd like to experience all of these things in my life. Do you know where these things are found? They're found in Jesus. That's who he is. So the only way that we're going to experience lasting goodness or grace or mercy or joy is through our Creator. So when you think of it that way, you go, wow, what an awesome invitation. We have an awesome Creator, and that Creator says, I want you to experience my glory, and I'm inviting you into that. It changes everything. We say and we sing, Jesus is the reason for the season. It's like, yeah, that's a great slogan. But how powerful to know that we can confidently proclaim that because he is awesome. It's not like, oh, he's the reason for the season and it'll be fine, but let's get on to the good stuff. He is the good stuff. And everything that we experience, those wonders and joy, that's a glimpse of who our Creator is. And so it points back to him. Only found in and through Jesus. So let me share with you another reason why centering on Christ is essential to living life to the fullest. Jesus Christ sustains his creation. Let me ask you this question. How many here this morning would say, I have been tasked with spearheading my family efforts from Thanksgiving to New Year's Day. I'm the one they look to that gets all the things together, that creates the fun. Who's in here? Nobody spearheads? Come on. Oh, look at, I guess you guys aren't real fun. We've got three people in here spearheading a great Christmas season. Now, you know what I'm talking about. You're usually tasking, you're working hard, and you're thinking, okay, I got to maintain a clean house. It's got to be decorated the right way. I'm going to try to keep everybody healthy and well-fed. I'm going to try to find gifts for even persnickety people in my life. I'm going to spread holiday cheer. All the while, I'm going to maintain a Christ-honoring attitude. Yeah. Oh. Even you hear that list and you go, that's crazy. That's exhausting. Just listen. It is. So I want you to know, you're not alone if you fall short of that standard. In fact, all of us fall short in one way or another, because that's an overwhelming pursuit. That's an overwhelming list of things. And we often fall short because we are not capable of holding it all together. But there is good news. There is one who is capable, and not only capable, willing to hold it all together. And you guessed it, it's Jesus. Verse 17 in our reading says this: and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I want to do a little exercise together this morning. One, on three, everybody just take a big, deep breath, okay? One, you don't have to hold it. Let it out. One, two, three. Okay, I want you to know you're officially off the hook of having to hold it all together. Merry Christmas. Isn't that exciting? When you can just take a deep breath and go, wow, I don't have to hold all of it together. Jesus does that. He's the one. Listen to Hebrews 1:3. The second part of the verse says this: and he upholds the universe by the power of, or by the word of his power. He upholds the universe just by his word. He's that powerful. You may be here this morning and you're just exhausted. I want to ask, you don't have to give a testimony. Somebody may be watching. Let's just assume most of us are here this morning and we're just tired. And you're just worn out. And I wonder, are you trying to carry some burdens that God never intended for you to carry? Here's some burdens that came to mind. The burden of seeking the approval of others. Man, have you noticed how finicky people are? We call it in our family, you can go from hero to zero in no time. You thought you were doing so great, and then one look, one word, whatever, one lack of something, and now you're in the doghouse. It's hard to seek after the approval of other people. Maybe you're carrying the burden of trying to provide fulfillment for those around you. You feel a burden that those around you are happy all the time. You've got to keep them entertained and well-fed and just content. That's a massive burden. Why? Because we can't do it. Maybe you're carrying the burden of trying to earn God's love. Now, I know, as most of us are probably Christ followers here, you might say, well, I would never say that, Mike, but do we live it? Do we live it? Do we think that if just that next good work and God is somehow going to love me more? Maybe it's even the burden of trying to secure your salvation in your own power. Maybe you think that it all rests on you, and one day, maybe, just maybe, your good will be better than your bad, and you will enter in to heaven with God. We carry burdens all the time. We do. We don't always verbalize it like that, but they're exhausting. They're impossible for us to carry. And thanks to Jesus, entirely unnecessary. If you think, what is the perfect gift for me this year? It's that Jesus is willing and able to carry those burdens. But you don't have to take my word for it. It's one thing for me to be up here and say that, and you go, yeah, what does he know? I want you to hear the words of Jesus himself. Listen to Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Jesus shares with us these words. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Those are powerful words if we truly understand what Jesus is offering us. I hope when I read that, you got a glimpse of how awesome this Creator is. So if you were worried about kind of surrendering control and centering your life on Jesus, you hear his words and you go, that sounds like a pretty special person. Sounds like an awesome person. And maybe some of the imagery is lost on us because we're not going around talking about yokes. And you think, what is he talking about? The imagery is two oxen together, and they're connected by a yoke. And so what is Jesus saying? He's saying, I want you to attach to me. I'm going to be your partner in life. And you can only imagine who's going to do the heavy lifting. You're going to be yoked, you're going to be connected with Jesus, and you're going to journey with him. And he's going to lead you. He's going to be with you. He's going to guide you. His burden is light. In him we find rest for our souls. I wonder how many this morning just need to take a moment and say, you know, I've just been going through this holiday season, and now we're almost to Christmas and then New Year's, and then we start it all over again, and I'm exhausted, and maybe it's because we're not resting in Jesus. And that's a prayer that you can pray, but you don't have to ask Jesus or convince Jesus to do this. He's inviting you and saying, I want to do this. I love you. I will carry those burdens because I'm able. You're not, so give them to me. And he gladly takes those from us. If you're feeling crushed under a weight you were never intended to carry, today is the day to start resting in the sustaining power of Jesus. Let me give you a third reason to center our lives on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ reconciles his creation. Reconciles his creation. If you've ever doubted that as mankind we have a deep desire for our relationships to be reconciled, be in harmony, be together, you need look no further than the Hallmark Channel. Now, I told first hour, and I'll tell you, I'm going to tread lightly here. I've got my mother-in-law here. You know Hallmark's on. I got my wife here. And now my daughter, they got to my daughter. Oh, all these generations watching Hallmark. I get it, okay? So all I'm going to say about Hallmark is this. When a production company can draw in an estimated 72 million viewers to watch the same storyline repackaged over and over again, you know they've done something. There is something special. It's resonating in the hearts of people. And you say, well, what is it? What is the secret sauce of the Hallmark Channel? It's this. It's that we, as mankind, have a deep longing for reconciliation. Every time you start, you know how it ends. You know it. He gets the girl. We got to have a little conflict in there. I'm sorry I stepped on your flowers. I mean, it's goofy. We don't even care. And maybe for some of you guys, you're like, hey, I told you. I know it's you too. You're watching that and just going, oh, if my marriage could be just as happy as that. But here's the sad thing. This fantasy that Hallmark portrays, We're missing an incredible truth here, because the reality is available to all of us in Jesus. I mean, think about it. What they're selling and we're buying by the millions, God in His Word says, I've got this. You don't need the Hallmark Channel for that. Through Jesus, we can be reconciled with our Creator. And once we have that relationship restored, we're actually divinely empowered to go out and reconcile with one another. You want to see the Hallmark Channel displayed on a global level? Everybody get in on this Jesus thing and let Him work in and through our lives, and we will all be reconciled together. There's something that's kind of hopeful to me as I think about it. When you look ahead at what God is preparing, a new heaven and a new earth, living with Him in perfection, that's what it's going to be like all the time. Reconciled relationships. We have a deep longing for it. Let me read to you verse 20 again, and I'm going to read down to verse 23 in Colossians. It says this, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He is now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. So we find ourselves at the central message of the central person, and it's called the gospel. The gospel is good news. So through our hostility, through our wickedness and evil, we've separated ourselves from our Creator. Remember who that Creator is, the source of goodness and forgiveness and mercy and grace and love. We've separated ourselves from Him. We say, God, I've got a different way. We think a better way. I'm going to steer my own life ship. I'm going to do it my way. And over again, we see that that leads to heartache. We see it leads to despair. We see it leads to brokenness. And so what did our Creator do? While we were separated, the Bible says, while we were His enemies, aren't you glad He didn't wait for us to get it right? He didn't say, hey, when you get it right, then we're going to connect. No, knowing we wouldn't get it right, while we were His enemies, He wrapped Himself in flesh. He lived the perfect life that we could never live, and He willingly, lovingly sacrificed His life for us on a cross. Why do that? Because our sin, it created a debt. Our sin created a debt. And so God did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He said, you can't repay that debt, but I can. And what do we get out of it? We get presented to our Creator as perfect. That's amazing. Jesus is awesome. He is amazing. He loves us so much that He said, I don't want to be without you. I know you've rejected me, but I love you so much that I'm going to pay the price for that rejection. And I'm going to invite you back into a relationship with me. And by the way, I'm preparing something that you can't even fully fathom. It's going to be in existence as God originally intended, of perfection. So yay, Hallmark Channel, reconciled relationships, no more sin, no more sorrow, no more weeping, no more exhaustion. No more of any of this, just perfect harmony with our Creator and one another. That is the invitation of Christ. A love that this Christmas, I know we come together, we're in very different places, sometimes physically in different places, sometimes you think about financially, maybe for some here this morning, it's just tight this year. Maybe others are really struggling with relationships, and you just say, Mike, if we could talk, I've got some tough things going on in my family or in my friendships. The good news of the gospel is, regardless of where you're at in all this, this is available to you. This Christmas, you have reason to celebrate, regardless of any of that, because Jesus loves you. Because Jesus came and gave his life for you. Because Jesus wants to be with you and walk this journey into eternity with him. And so my challenge is this. I know we come together. We're on different kind of places on our spiritual journey. Maybe you're here this morning and you just never wrestled with this truth. You've heard about Jesus, but you didn't really understand the gospel. The good news is that we are sinners, all of us. We've all gone astray. We've all done our own thing. We've all told God, no, I've got this. And we need forgiveness. And so we call out to our Creator and say, I now see that Jesus has done for me something I couldn't do for myself. Would you cleanse me of that sin? Forgive me of that sin. Thank you for living that life I couldn't live. I want to live out of your power and just go about my daily life walking with you. Please come into my life and lead me. And maybe you're here and you say, Mike, I've done that. Well, how easy is it for us to forget that and to think that the gospel is just for my salvation and that's my ticket to heaven and I'm good. No, we need the truth and power of the gospel every day. We need to live out of that power every day to put Jesus center in our lives and allow his power to work in and through us. And as we do that, he will do a great work. And you know what? We experience the fullness and fulfillment that can only come through him. It's all win for us. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy on this life as we go through the brokenness. But we have the Creator of the universe journeying with us. And so I want to pray with you and for you this morning. My hope is that through even the book of Colossians, where you say, what does that have to say about Jesus? Everything. That Jesus is center to it all. That maybe we can just slow down enough this Christmas season, as it's just a couple days away now, and pause and take that deep breath and say, I don't want to just survive Christmas. I want to grasp the true meaning. I want to live in its fullness. And I just want to worship my Savior. Set our affections on him and adore him. And so let me pray for you if you bow your heads this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that throughout the word, that the hero of the story is Jesus. That as we dive in and we see, wow, we can experience satisfaction and fullness because of Jesus, because of who Jesus is. God, because of who you are and what you've done for us. And so I pray for each and every one here this morning, Lord. Maybe some are here and they've not yet grasped that truth. They've not yet invited you to come into their life, to cry out to you for the forgiveness of their sin and to just cling to you and say, I want to go where Jesus leads. Lord, I pray that even now they might be crying out in their heart that they are saying to you, I want to know and love Jesus. And for those of us who know that, God, I just pray that we would live out this truth every day being gospel-centered, knowing that this is good news, that we get to walk with you, that you are with us, and that you are the fullness of joy and goodness and peace and love and mercy, and that we might experience that in our own lives and also cultivate it into the lives that we come into contact with. We love you so much, and we thank you for the awesome Creator that you are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.